Accession number 19048, reel 4.
That's Harry Boardman, and it's reel 4. And Harry, you were just telling a story of Bougie and a silver platter that, and the way you lived there.
Yes, yes. We had a dugout on ground that was quite unsuitable to step. Mind, it was early in the fairly early ish in the thing. We hadn't learned enough experience. And the ground was all rock. It was rock and rubble and everything like that. And so on. And we dug down about 2 feet, 3 feet, and couldn't get down. So we thought, well, we'll build up the stuff we'd build up, and we'll try and make it. That'll be all right, you know, a bit. You know, 3 feet underground and 2 feet above is built up.
Yeah.
We can just about use that as a... Because you've got to, you know, being dug out all the time in case something happens. So, and we'd done that, but then it was hopeless, so that we'll move somewhere else nearby. So we did move, not too far away, where the ground was better, and we dug a proper L-shaped trench down and a little one off the side so that one can sit down there and he can sit and have a smoke if he wants, and so on, and that... But in the other one, we used that for other things we wanted to. Put in a loo, and you haven't got a loo.
Right.
So.
That was your outside toilet?
Yeah, the outside toilet, that's right. Mm. So that could be used as an outside toilet because it was built only half as deep as it should be. So I went in the outside toilet. And I got my head in the part that's covered over, because there, and that was the only time I had the proper pneumonia minis, you know, business. And they were going round all the way, thumping away like mad everywhere. And I dashed in, dropped in this thing, dashed in, got my treasure down, and it went round, and suddenly, I'm hit. So it fell on me. Oh, I'm hit. Major surgery. Died in the same place.
He jumped in the hole.
The same place, on top of me. And me with my face in the things. But what he was coming in, I had no idea.
Does he remember that story today?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so, not for one moment. Not for all, man. Don't tell him.
I won't tell him.
No, don't.
Okay. But
these things happen, do happen.
Sure. What you've done there, though, Harry, you've gone back again to Bougie.
That's right.
But let's take you back in the story to
that's
where
right.
you were.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was in about November time of 1944, when you were on the Mars and the bad weather and
yes.
a defensive
oh,
position.
Yes.
But
and Harry.
I'm not sure whether you've got any recollections of that period.
Well, yes, it was really dreadful, in actual fact. And of course, we were getting near the Siegfried Line, as you probably know.
Mm.
But the thing is, everywhere was flooded. You could get certain roads, and of course, the local people would know which were roads and not too covered in water. But the rest of the fields and everything would be a quagmire.
Mm.
You know, the road itself would be fairly solid to go along, even if it's covered with, you know, a foot of water, you'd be able with your horse and cart to get along. And with that was dreadful. That was the worst part of the exercise, really, that you never knew where you were, but the locals could, and so on. And we went along the awful hell of a way. And so on, but finally we got to the borders of Germany, the forest,
Reichswald.
The Reichswald.
Well, let me just remind you again, because You went in the Reichswald in February.
Yes, that's right.
But we were just talking about the November and the Mars, which was bad.
Yes.
Then after the Mars, you went back to somewhere like Helmond.
That's right, yes.
To prepare for the Reichswald.
The Reichswald, yes.
Yeah. But what happened, instead of you going to the Reichswald at that time, the Germans broke through in the Ardennes.
Yes. Mm.
So the Reichswald plans were scrapped.
Mm.
And you came then back to the Ardennes.
Yes.
Where the weather had changed.
Yes.
And the weather then was snow, ice,
yes,
cold,
that's right,
bitter.
Mm.
You've already accounted something of the Ardennes.
Yes.
Taking over from the Americans and so on.
That's right.
Can you remember any of the other scenes in the Ardennes around that time, Harry, with the snow and those conditions?
No, not really particularly. Not the, not that way. I only remember when. Let's see, the Ardennes. Yes, the Ardennes. We had to fight the way through the snow, which was terrific depths and everything like that. And the worst thing was the forest, you know, because you're forest and everything. The forests had been shattered, trees, all sharp.
Mm.
Everything had sharp, jagged edges. And to get guns through, everything had to be manhandled. They could not be, you know, the Lloyd carriers were completely hopeless. Some, you know, could be on, you could get onto roads and so on. And I remember people having terrible things, you know, spikes through them and so on because of the shattered forest, you know.
Do you remember, because you spent your Christmas there in the Ardennes.
Yes.
And you spent, I think, New Year was in the Ardennes. Mm. So this would have been your only Christmas and New Year that you had.
That's right.
During this time. Can you remember that?
Yes, indeed. We went back, I think, occasionally to just have a meal. You know, we had Christmas dinner as usual. Brought up Christmas dinner and all that kind of thing. But nothing particular. It was just plodding through, you know, chasing and plodding and chasing and plodding until came the final at least for me, when in the Ardennes, in the having to move the guns, it was just unbelievable that you could do it because a gun can get in such bloody places with the wheels going this way and the trails going somewhere else, and the trail of a gun is a hell of a weight, you know, and so on. And your vehicle, which is there to pull it, can't pull it. So you've got to do the work.
Mm.
And they were going through, and of course, you were wrapped up in things, and white sheets, a lot had white sheets, including me, which of course are hooked on every branch that was in, so you got rid of it, you know, you soon got rid of it and so on and so on. Oh, but just before we went in there, we went to before we got into the island, just before we got in this one, we went into a farm, and we, you know, there's nobody there. Some of the cattle were there and things like that, but the people had all gone or whatever. And we went into a barn, and all the sort of mud and offal and all the bistro and everything like that were all thrown upon one side. And it was as high as this roof, you know, like that, piled up. But finally, we climbed up on this thing and knocked bricks out of the wall at the top under the roof, you see, so that you couldn't, if anybody was looking by binoculars, they couldn't just see a wall.
Mm.
And two bricks missing, and I can see something glinting through it. You couldn't. So, being clever, you know, We went right up on this thing, right up to the roof, and then just underneath the roof, and then we could see and so on. And we had that for ages. Oh, and it was awful. You were climbing up this thing, you know, getting in a hell of a state, and then coming back and having problems, and different ones wouldn't wake up when they should do and come and do the share. And
you described that as being a slope of about 8 or 9 feet high, sloping of offal and animal produce.
Yeah, in other words, what they had swept up and that, you know, and the bits of straw and everything that they'd swept up everywhere, they just flung it up there, and that's it, and that's where we lay and watch this thing, and so on. So you can imagine the state you were in.
Yeah.
You know, really, it was awful. And I was very keen on them, you know, keeping a watch, you know, and that two at a time, one keep the other awake while the other one. Because you had to sleep sometime, you see. You know, you can't. In fact, I can sleep and doze and come round okay, and I don't seem to be any the worse for it. And I won't say blame it on that, but I work it down to that sort of thing, that it never worried me about sleepless nights and then and then having to do work, really, you know, because your life depended on it, not anything like that. But when we went into the and incidentally, all the land around was flooded completely, covered with snow and ice, all the land, and just the long narrow roads, so anybody not knowing what they were doing, you know, like the locals would do, would know, you could get down into and you could be lost.
Yes.
Your vehicle, your car, anything would just get down.
Disappear.
But we got into this farmhouse, and I had them, you know, doing this, they're all grumbling like mad, of course, what the bloody hell do we want to know whether they're, you know, whether they're, you know, around and anything like that, but I had them and so on. And we had some, yeah, some good things and everything, and good cooking, in actual fact, in the background. Well, good stuff being cooked by our Paddy.
You've mentioned cooking by your chef several times.
Yes, I'll show you his photograph. Yeah. It's right on top of there. They sent me a photograph about Christmas, that's right, they sent me a photograph of Christmas.
What was the best, most memorable meal you can remember during those times with him that he cooked for you?
Oh, we had some very good ones. When we invited the local, you know, officer in his own dugout to come and dine on our thing, because we used to have a table, folding table outside on the edge of the, wherever it is, you could drop down and drop in.
With a silver salver?
Oh, well, no, that had gone long ago. It had gone all brown with, because we tried to cook as well on it, you know. And it, oh, no, that had gone long ago. But we had porcelain. We had real porcelain plates and that sort of thing. Oh, everywhere we went, we always tried to have, you know, to find, not looted, of course.
No, borrowed.
Yes, plates and everything like that, knives and forks. We never dined. I will say my crew never actually just dined out of bully beef tin things. So you got it when you went to go and get it at night when the battalion brought it. But we were always the last to be served, to be done, I think, because they used to have to wait until everybody had been served, and then some of you could come back to get it. Go back, and then somebody else could go back and get it. Oh, and it went on forever. Whereas the people who were in the trenches, like, say, A Company or B Company or C Company, and so on, they could get the whole lot in one place, and they could all just come up and get it.
Yes.
But you had to go and get yours from devious parts as well, you know.
We call it scrounging or something.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. We captured, at least I did, and actually it was one time when he was a little bit off to you, and I pulled a gun on him, actually, just to show him, you know. Not as I would have ever shot one, you know, even a German. You know, when they were getting a bit dodgy and they were defecting and everything like that. And a lovely big car came up, you know, Mercedes Benz, you know. Beautiful car with chauffeur, everything, you know, in Berlin doing it. And in the back, this chap, get out, first of all, you know, get him out. So he got out and took his big briefcase with him, you know, and everything like that.
You thought, what's in the briefcase?
Yes. Who are you? I'm the paymaster general of the such and such a division, and so on and so on. And these are, you know, these are the paychecks and so on and so on. And also, I think, they probably had their own printing press for money. You know. And they handed it over to the only one who could use the language was Major Cetra.
Oh, right.
Major Cetra.
Yes. Because he spoke German.
Exactly. Another one had it handed over to him. What was he? There was another one. There was somebody else we handed over to him. We seemed to be always with his company.
Yes.
D company or something like that. And he was the only one who could speak the language, which of course helped a little bit, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's the Ardennes.
Yes, that
was
Ardennes,
pretty much.
Yes, sorry.
Which was which was at that stage, December, January. Now, after the Ardennes, I know that you went back to Helmond again to prepare for the attack on the Reichswald Forest that you were going to do prior to the Ardennes. But now the Ardennes is finished. And you're now back in Helmond preparing to attack through the Reichswald Forest. Can you recall that, Harry?
No, I can't, actually.
Not being in Helmond?
No. Well, no, I can't. It would be just another place. I may never even known the name of it and so on, actually. But I certainly did remember the Ardennes, by Christ, yes.
The Ardennes you did, yes.
Struggling through. Well, it's just impossible, quite frankly, but you do it. Struggling through a forest 6 and 7 feet deep in snow, and the snow all lasted and stayed there, being in a forest, it keeps together. And it was a solid mass of just snow with fronds of, you know, the forest coming out of it. So no road, no nothing. But the Canadians were in there making a hell of a mess. They shot down most of the trees, but of course that left all great spike things doing us dreadful. And somebody else, another one, who would they be? Canadians, I'm
Well, the Americans were there.
That's right. A couple of the Americans, but the Americans, I don't think, were with us. Who had to fight their way through the Ardennes forest and so on. And I say all this stuff was shattered and everything, you know. That's really what worried me to death, was the things you could do. You could see it snow lovely like that. And yet, just underneath is a part of shattered tree that just waiting to catch you.
Covered in a smooth, newly fallen snow.
Exactly. If the others had gone through first, but at this particular time, everybody suddenly was getting. We've got to get through, and there was Canadians this side. There was the others the other side. All with the different languages, all with their doings, and the language was going to and fro like mad and everything like that, and so on. And we were trying to drag our 6-pounder guns through this shattered forest. And on top of which, you had to wear greatcoats because it was really cold, you know, and you were wet through inside your greatcoat, which was freezing and so on. and some people were actually wandering around with the white sheets on as well, you know,
the camouflage.
Where they come from, you know.
For camouflage, presumably.
For camouflage, but I don't think it made any difference. Well, we didn't, not when you're dragging a bloody big gun, you know, with a piece of so-and-so, and it was there where I got my comeuppance.
Well, I'm not sure, Harry, because as far as I knew it, you were wounded in the Reichswald.
That's right.
Forest.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Reichswald.
Because in the story, you were in Helm on training for the Reichswald.
Oh, yes.
But there was no snow in the Reichswald, was
no,
there?
No, no, no. In the Reichswald? Mm. The Reichswald?
When you were wounded.
Snow? Mm. Yes, we were up to the knees in snow, yes, in the Reichswald.
Which was February.
February 15, my birthday.
Yes. Now, I know that it was very wet in the Reichswald.
Oh,
mud.
Covered in snow.
Snow as well.
Melting snow, I must confess.
Okay.
The wet snow, you see, the snow was all wet, but it was all there, you know, and it was sludgy and whatever, and you could eventually, some had even got parts of a road through it. The Canadians, I think the Canadians were there.
Mm.
No, there were so many languages going on at one time. Mm. It was unbelievable.
Mm.
You know, the different people who were involved in moving that. And that's where I got my comeuppance.
Did you say on your birthday?
Birthday. 15th of February.
You were wounded on your birthday?
That's right.
Nice birthday present.
It was indeed.
Because you went into the forest on the 8th of February.
Mm.
Do you remember the fighting in the forest as the prelude to you being wounded?
Not particularly. We were worried about the guns, you know, we'd be guns to get through. Oh, you could hear it all the time. It was going on, I mean, and things dropping and whatever. But not actual fighting, not actual, you know, rifle shot. Everybody... Mm. Was around our area were people who had to get things through, like roads, if you could make a road through the forest and that sort of thing.
Mm.
But what went on other parts, I couldn't actually say.
So describe your birthday then, Harry.
Oh, yes. Well, I was shot through the leg and, you know, just couldn't move, couldn't do anything. I was put down and put in my overcoat, which already was, and just put down on one side, really. Nothing you can do with it.
What did it feel like when you were shot?
Oh, God, it seemed to be the end of the earth, in actual fact, you know, the end of everything. In fact, it was probably not as bad as I probably thought, because, and the lads had to move me because the guns were coming through where I was, you know. The lads picked me up and took me. Really, and it's a case of they just get hold of one end of the overcoat and the other one gets your leg and doings, and you had to go. Doings they can't. They haven't got time to... doings they've got a gun to get through. That's the thing. And they got me... to a little, not a path, but a path through the wood where no vehicles were going, and then just lay me on the ground, and that was the end of that, and I was just left there. And then eventually, a medic chap came along, and I think he gave me a tablet or something to bite, you know, that... gave me some sort of liquid that supposed to
stop the pain,
help the pain and whatever, and so on, but it didn't really. And I got to a and they'd put me on top of a, they put me on a jeep. There was no a duck, you know, which is a jeep that runs on the water.
Yes.
And of course, it was all flooded at that part. You know, as you probably know, it was completely flooded. And a road through, there was a road through the floods, but the roads were 3 or 4 feet deep in water. And whoever knew the road, God knows how he would have gone on if he'd gone over the side or whatever it was. And I, being the last one, and being not as badly wounded as many, I must confess, was put on top of the jeep thing and strapped on, you know, the stretcher, which was really just an action stretcher, which is just a canvas thing with two rods through. It's not a fancy thing with legs and all that. And they put me on top of that, and I was strapped on. And then I went through miles and miles of flooded land. You couldn't tell that you were actually on the road. The chap knew, obviously, he was driving and whatever, and doing whatever. But I was worried about the fact that we'll go just down an inch or two down one side and we'll all tip over and in the water, and that's the end of it. And as far as the eye could see, you'd got out of the Reichwald, and now I was traversing over the night, well, it's getting to morning, over this stretch of water. It just went forever, you know, part of Holland and so on. And then finally it got to a tent where they then decided to have a look at me. And that's where he said, oh no, got to come off just above the ear or something like that. Take it off.
Because you're showing your injuries in your left knee.
Yeah. And so on. And I recovered, I came round. In fact, there were women there, you know, women, nurses, or whatever. Oh, I said, no, don't do that. Don't take the leg off, you know. One leg, God, terrible. And she pleaded with him, and the doctor said, I haven't got time to, so-and-so. He swore, in actual fact. Mm. But then, and of course, in the circumstances, he was working like mad and trying to do people who were worse than me, probably. No time to worry about it. If he won't have that, leave it. So I'll do it. And eventually got to a place in, I think it was Brussels. To a big church in Brussels where, I'll tell you who was the woman in charge of it, what was she called? She was the Prime Minister's wife at the time. What was she called? Because they used to call her Frau whatever she was called. I think she was the Prime Minister's wife, and she was doing what's the superintendent nurse who's in charge of a place, you know. Anyway.
Matron.
She was doing that. And we were in a cathedral place, because I was put underneath, down there, and above me was great big, enormous, went right to the roof, inlaid glass, you know, for the panes of glass, you know, showing Christ doing all
leaded window.
Wonderful, beautiful, right up to the roof, you know. And the roof and everything. I thought, and to tell the truth, I thought, what a place to be in this, to get a bang, you know, and it did. And suddenly...
With all that glass around.
Suddenly it did. Thud. The glass came out in one piece. Well, not one piece, but it seemed, it certainly was. Even where there were brickwork between it. The glass came out, woofter, all over me, and I was completely covered in this, you know, Christ is doing what for you.
Yes.
And so I was completely covered, and it was everywhere, and the bed came over and everything like that. And screams of everybody and everything, and suddenly a voice, be quiet in here.
The matron.
Be quiet. Yes. And it was this lady, I'm sure it was Stafford Cripps or somebody like that, whoever she was. Be quiet in here. Get back into bed, you know. And everybody did just that. They all went quiet, and those who could get back into bed, actually they carried me, brushed off all the glass, and thought, but I was terrified. Oh,
Didn't catch it though, the glass.
No, the glass never, not one bit of glass did any kind of thing. All I had was the leg.
Yes.
Being wounded, you know, being.
And what was it, a rifle shot or was it?
No, a shrapnel. That was the problem. Went up in donkey's ears.
Mm.
No, it was a piece of shrapnel. Very small, in actual fact. And this doctor, who did the first attack on it in Belgium, got it out, you know, what's supposed to be. Then I was in for about a couple of weeks or something like that, and then brought home on a plane, you know, by a plane and so on. And when I got to England, again a doctor looked at it, a surgeon looked at it, and said there's a little bit more in. I have to have another go at it. So he got it back from this end. You see, it went through there and came out here.
Yeah.
And so on. So he had another go at it and this out. But for two or